Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
What does it take to be a real outdoorsman? A real cowboy? A real just adventurer? Well, now you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can really find out with Buckaroo Bites. Leftover meal bits like smashed into little bite-sized cubes for your deliciousness and appetite. If you can down them, your pants, they won't brown them. Hey, B&B family, this is Derek, and with me today is the only man who compares his bladder leak to that of a camelback bladder, Carl Mandrioli. Still pretty bad, huh, buddy?
Not there yet. Not there in life yet. Yeah, probably right. A couple years away, yeah. With me today is Derek Somerville, a man who has one of the worst jobs in the world. He just got hired on as a porch pirate.
Again with the porch pirate?
What do you mean, again?
You brought this up in like season three or four.
What are you, porch pirate? What's your favorite thing that you found in a box?
There's nothing I found because I don't look for it.
Okay.
You are the one wearing the eye patch, not me.
Okay, fair enough. I do want to talk about your fake advertisement there. So what was that called again?
Buckaroo Bites, everybody.
Buckaroo Bites. You said if you can down them, your pants won't brown them.
Well, it was mainly I should have said your pants, you won't brown them.
That
would have been better emphasis.
I think that was your best one. That was your best.
You know, I aim to please. Yeah. I aim to please.
Well done. So,
well, thank you.
Speaking of bad things, this episode's about worse, and hopefully things we can take away and learn from them. And we decided to partner with Trust the Trail, the podcast some of you folks already listened to, maybe some of you haven't. So we had Scott on from Trust the Trail for this episode.
Indeed
we did, yeah. And we did not have Ariane on. She was not available. So is this because of you think?
Probably. I forgot the deodorant, so I'm working on it.
Our Bible verse for the episode, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Ooh.
Okay, sounds kind of bad right there. So this episode is trying to avoid things that go from bad to worse. So when you think of something that's the worst, like what comes to mind, what do you think of?
Your intros. I know, right?
Okay.
You talking about the buff or the aqua clip. I hope we don't hear about that this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I think sometimes on the trail, like, you know, when you have something go wrong and then you're, you know, when something goes wrong on the trail, you have to obviously stay calm, deal with it. But then when you have maybe a hiking mate that's negative or, you know, complaining about it, just makes things so much worse.
So your worst is like complainers, basically.
I don't like complainers. I mean, there's frustrations that will come out, but.
Right.
Yeah, that just is hard. That's for me.
But I don't know where in your world do you encounter the most complainers?
On this podcast. But I think I've only had it happen. Thankfully, we have a pretty good group, but it's only happened a few times on the trail. But I think just, you know, you encounter people in your life and you, it's just, you know, these are people you don't really want to spend too much time with, sadly. But
I'm with you on the complainers for sure. I don't think they're the worst. because I think people complain nonstop, but I hear you on the trail. They are bad to have. So we're going to talk about some, we got different categories we're going to hit, and we're going to hear from Scott and kind of share our own thoughts as well. So without further ado, here is Scott from Trust the Trail. So we are here, Backpacking and Blisters podcast. Hello. With Scott from Trust the Trail. How's it going today?
Good, man. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, we got like a dual podcast going. We did this a couple years ago. It's been a while, right?
It has been a while, yeah. Absolutely.
What's new and exciting with Trust the Trail?
Well, we have been, I feel like I've gotten to know the inner sanctions of the United States in a personal way. We have traveled. Oh my God. I can't remember where we were when we did the podcast, but I've been through Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arizona. And then we were in 4 months, we were up in Montana, which was really interesting because the part of Montana we were in was Yellowstone. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Great. But we weren't in Yellowstone. We were in a small little town called Cook City, Montana.
Okay. Nice.
The population there is 72 people.
Well, 74 with you guys, right?
Jeez. 74. Right.
72 locals.
73 now, officially, since Ariana's still up there.
Yeah, there you go.
And just to clarify, when you say Yellowstone, you're talking about Yellowstone National Park. You're not talking about Yellowstone, the ranch owned by Kevin Costner.
Right. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. No, this would be Yellowstone National Park, although it would be really cool to spend 4 months there also. But yeah, it was the national park.
Yeah, well, it looks like a dangerous ranch. Just
Some bad things happen on that ranch.
A lot of shootings.
Buckle up.
Yeah. A lot of shootings. That's right. You got to come prepared.
Yeah.
Longer gear list for that trip. All right. Well, So Derek and I are my name's Carl. Derek and I are the hosts for the Backpacking Blisters podcast, if you're new to our show. And we're just happy to, kind of go back and forth, sharing kind of our thoughts and opinions about different things. We titled this something on the lines of like the worst blank.
And then fill in the blank for the situation.
And fill in the blank for the situation. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so we got some different categories and, it's interesting to hear different people's takes. And, we always like to hear stories and experiences other folks have, and hopefully ours will be different for your show. You actually share with me, you had an interesting story for the worst trail or trail experience that you've ever had, Scott. So what was that? That was somewhere in like Illinois or something?
Yeah, so, and I would kind of say that, no trail is ever, it's never the worst trail. However, there are different times when you say to yourself, man, I maybe I shouldn't be here right now. Or maybe this was a bad day to hike this trail. I remember coming off the Appalachian Trail and I spent, maybe like 4 or 5 months I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to do. I was looking for anything to do or to hike to get back out there. Just by happenstance, I just find this Illinois River to River Trail in the Shawnee National Forest. Now, keep in mind, I was in Chicago, and there's not a lot of backpacking options in Chicago unless you drive to get out of the city, right? So I'm like, Shawnee National Forest, that sounds good. It's a 186-mile trail. Boom, I'll go down there and just knock that out and, spend a couple weeks down there just to just to go hiking and exploring, and sounded so easy.
It always does. It always does. It always does.
It sounded so simple.
Right. That's like famous last words right there when you're hiking.
Just over this hill.
Yeah.
I know, right? So I sent in for the guidebook, and so I get the guidebook, and I'm doing a little plan and prepare, but not really much because, for me, 186 miles after getting off the AT, it just didn't seem like it was going to be that hard. And the first thing I noticed is the guidebook is backwards.
Like in code, maybe.
The writing was backwards from right to left is what you're saying.
Yeah, but upside down. It's like you almost needed to stand on your head, read the guidebook backwards, upside down to make sense of.
Right.
It sounds like whoever made them just needs help learning how to work a copy machine.
Or was highly dyslexic. I'm not really sure. Right. But it was just everything was backwards. But hey, man, I appreciate the work he did. It was cool. Get the book, drive down there. I notice when I start doing the trail, trail signs or trail markers on the trees for the same trail. And after reading the guidebook, he had said, well, we've changed trail markers a little bit or trail symbols and over the years, and some of them are older than others. Well, older than others. Oh, there were like four or five of them, and they were all different, and they were all on different trees, and they were all on different trails.
So you're definitely not trusting this trail, is what you're saying.
I was not trusting the trail. And
nice, Derek.
You're welcome.
So anyway, long story short, I do like a 12-mile day, and I go through Giant City State Park, which is really nice, park. I think one of the oldest ones in Illinois. And I make it to this place called Panther Den Wilderness. Now, I didn't know Illinois had a wilderness area. It's a very cool name. Like, why Panther Den? Why?
Why not?
I mean, I don't know if you want to find that out.
You know what's coming.
Yeah.
But in Illinois, you know, I mean, right. I could see Panther in some other states, but Illinois, I don't see Illinois as a big Panther hangout place. You know?
what do you imagine? Like, what are the wild animals in Illinois? Like a lot of wild chickens, or what are you thinking here?
Beavers. It's beavers.
Maybe like a raccoon. A raccoon could scratch your eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. That makes sense. But not a lot of, you know, flesh-eating animals.
Flesh-eating.
I think, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, so Panther Den, you get in a Panther Den, and it was just really eerie. It was really quiet.
Creepy.
Nobody was there. They had all these, like, little hang caves that you could kind of camp under. And it was just the most eerie place.
And you were by yourself, right?
I was by myself.
Which makes it more eerie.
And it was just like, the wind wasn't blowing. Mm. It was just, everything like had stopped.
Right.
Would you like manifest panther sounds in your own head? You know, like, oh, I heard a growl.
But thank God I had not seen the Blair Witch Project before I had done this, because I would have looked for like stick figures up in the trees. Oh, you goodness. Know, it was that kind of place.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the worst. And I still think about that. I still get freaked out about that Panther Den.
The takeaways I have from that, though, there's a couple things you said that I want to highlight, or one thing in particular. So you mentioned that you said it was a 186-mile trail, which you didn't think would be that hard. So I think you live in a fitness realm that is different from Derek and I and a lot of folks out there, because when I think of a 186-mile trail, I think, That's a big trail. Yeah.
Well, it was in Illinois, too. So, I mean, like, I didn't think Illinois had a lot of mountains. They do have some hills down in southern Illinois. But, you know, after you're done the AT.
Comparatively, right.
You know, I had just gotten off the AT. So, I was in great shape. Okay. I think walking up the stairs right now I'd consider that a mountain.
Right.
But back then, it was completely different.
Sure. The other thought I had, too, was like Derek's making fun of the guidebook author. I think Derek might underestimate the complexities of a copy machine, because I definitely have had challenges there where, you know, you just put one copy in, it jams up immediately.
We all have our challenges, and those are simple ones for you. But I think it's...
Well, for me, so you're saying that everybody else out there, fellow adventurers out there, you're saying that they do not struggle with copy machines.
I think you're putting those words in my mouth. I'm going to take them back out, throw them in the trash. I'm saying copiers can be challenging for certain types of people, and you're one of those people.
Certain types of people. Okay. I think everybody has had the copy machine at work that's constantly...
I'm going to guess that Scott is like 98% successful with a copier.
Other than until you start the automatic feeder. That's where things go wrong with me.
Exactly. Automatic feeder, when it sucks the paper in, it just jams it up, and then you take the paper out, and it leaves that little bit of piece in there, and then it's broken.
Like, this sounds like a whole other podcast episode, right?
Yeah, we're going to do...
Sometimes the paper doesn't even come out. It just goes in there, and like in the abyss of copy machines. So, opening up the lid, putting it down, and then you got to line it up, and then, you know, God forbid it's like an 11 by, you know, it's 11 by 12, or it's other than 8 by 10. And yeah, it can become a nightmare. I just go to Office Max and cry and have them do it.
These all seem like personal problems. I don't really care about.
We're going to do our next episode will be on how to use a copy machine. So we'll cover that. But Derek, what's your worst trail experience?
Worst trail immediately comes to mind. It was in Yosemite. And it's near a lake called Gravel Pit Lake. Mm. And it was a long day. I think I broke off from the group. We were having, there was some, not bickering, there was some just like in conversations going on between people. I'm like, I don't really want to be around these conversations.
Was it about cop machines?
It was about copy machines and solar panels. No, no. So I was like, you know, this is a good opportunity to go on a little solo hike. So I peeled off ahead. I went a couple miles ahead, and there was only really one spot to camp before the end of the trail. So I found this lake. It's called Gravel Pit Lake with the junction, and I stopped there. And lo and behold, I realized there was probably like every mosquito on the planet at this junction. So I ended up on the trail in the fetal position, trying to cover my face from mosquitoes, putting my jacket over my body. Essentially, they were in my nose, my ears, my mouth, like everywhere.
And for those new to our show, Derek laying on the trail in the fetal position is not actually that uncommon.
It's not. When you listen to Carl's jokes regularly, it makes you want to cry. So that was the biggest issue. We eventually found a campsite and started a fire, got rid of the mosquitoes, but it was like a blanket. It was like locusts, but in the form of mosquitoes. You know how locusts come in like billions and trillions. The water supply is another issue. It was like a, what would you call it, like a still bog with like peat moss everywhere, or and lily pads and frogs doing things that were inappropriate in this bog.
Like going to the bathroom?
Going to the bathroom. And then we're like, this is the only water source here. So we're like, well, we're really going to test out these filters today. And thankfully they did a pretty good job, but it was just not a fun experience. It was just not an enjoyable trail. It wasn't hard. It was flat, but it was just really miserable.
How did the mosquitoes taste? I mean, were they crunchy?
They were kind of gummy.
Gotcha.
I'm not gonna lie, they were kind of gummy. I think that's because, you know, I found a couple in my teeth once the fire got going, so that was just unnecessary. But definitely not a place I want to go back to.
Yeah, when you're flossing out mosquitoes, you're probably in a bad spot.
It was pretty gross.
Yeah,
and who names the trail the Gravel Pit Trail?
Good question, because it's. Yeah.
I mean, how lazy can you be? That's a gravel pit down there. What kind of trail you want to name it? We'll just gravel pit.
Right.
We'll just do it there.
Like, just take an extra 5 seconds and think of something better. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
I think, and when you say that the water filtration was pretty good, like nobody got sick. I think what you're referring to is if you've ever filtered water where it's gone through the filter and it still kind of tastes a little yucky.
Funky. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what it was. But nobody got sick.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about let's go with. Once we've got all sorts of categories here, what about your kind of worst dinner or trail food experience, Scott? What do you have for that one?
Oh, man. Well, it probably was very early on when I was backpacking. For some reason, like when you're new to backpacking, you think you have to buy freeze-dried food. So you go out and you buy all this Mountain House stuff and, you know, thank God there's so much more to choose from. Now, but in 2002, there wasn't a lot of choices, right? I'd hike the Smokies through the Smokies, and I thought, well, if I was gonna make it through the Smokies, I was gonna make the decision to hike the AT. And so I was in the Smokies. I made myself, they had Mountain House, they had the powdered eggs, and back then it was just eggs. It didn't even add any bacon bits. There was nothing. It was just,
I'm already getting nauseous, but keep going.
it was just the package was eggs.
Okay.
You know, sounds like a winner. Sounds like a winner.
What else are you gonna have for breakfast? I guess, you know, like granola, or you know, back then, you know, right?
Not oatmeal.
So yeah,
oatmeal.
So I opened that up and I ate like maybe two spoonfuls, and that I was it. That was done. I mean, I got sick. It all came up. To this day, that is still the worst.
You're better than that.
Meal I have ever eaten on the trail.
And you'll never forget it. I'm curious, Carl, I think, what's your grossest meal? Didn't you eat a dead animal or something?
Not intentionally, yeah. All the mosquitoes and bugs, yeah. No, but yeah, I'm with you on the freeze-dried stuff. I do, at least Derek and I do think that the freeze-dried stuff has gotten better over the years, and there's a lot.
It has.
Like the Peak Refuels, we like a lot of those, and what is it, Packet Gourmet.
Gourmet.
So we like some of that stuff, but I try to try new stuff on the trail. I don't know if that, it wasn't.
Well, try to try.
Attempt to try new stuff on the trail every trip just to see if I can find kind of a new staple that's going to go with me. And so this is just from a couple months ago. We got a Sierra, or it used to be called Sierra Trading Post, near our house. And they sell kind of like discounted gear and food and that kind of thing. So I got this brand freeze-dried called ReadyWise.
Ooh.
And it was spicy noodles.
Yikes.
Ready Wise spicy noodles. And so I thought, I was like, or spicy Asian noodles, something like that. Sounded good. So I cooked that up night one, and it tasted just like kind of like raw noodles. They just kind of poured a bunch of chili powder on, basically. Like it was just
tasty.
Yeah. Not even salted or anything. And I took a couple bites and I just said, I just can't eat this.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what I did, and then you two can give me feedback whether this is appropriate or not.
But we're going to judge you.
Yeah. I didn't want to carry it out. So because, you know, it's hydrated now. So now it's got the water content, and I'm not looking to carry extra weight. Mm. So I prefer to say we, but it was really
safer to say we. Yeah.
I dumped it into the campfire and burned it up that way. Is that okay to do?
I mean, I can't say. Well, Scott, why don't you answer that first?
Well, I would say this, is that if you were in bear country, it was okay for you, but it probably wasn't okay for the next person that came to the campground.
You think spicy noodle ashes are going to attract bears?
That's a great question. I just watched this. Being in Yellowstone for 4 months, I watched a lot of Yellowstone documentaries, right? Because, you know, I wanted to know, right? I wanted to know the area. They had a documentary. They had this scene where a grizzly bear could smell bison that was dead underneath the frozen water. And so this grizzly bear comes down this mountain, right? Goes to this pond that's covered in ice,
right?
Breaks the ice and pulls that bison out of the water.
How thick is the ice, you think?
According to Yellowstone Rangers, bears can smell, feet underneath the ice. Not inches, but feet. Okay. And this big grizzly. So I would imagine, bears can smell stuff 20 miles away.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you think it's not going to happen or you think you've covered, I think bears they live in a whole different, different world of smell than we are, for sure.
I think my answer is a little more simplistic. I think I've learned that bears don't really enjoy Chinese food. So they're more into, American burgers and whatnot.
Like paleo diet.
Paleo diet. They have a real pescatarian.
A panda would enjoy Chinese food.
Oh, panda would love Chinese food. The occasional bear I've seen eat sushi, so I think he might. I think he might be able to get away with it, depending on how much spice, what type of spice was on that. So, if there was any like wonton or fortune cookies nearby, he's in trouble probably. But I think you're okay. Just burn it up.
Which would be ironic if a bear opened up a fortune cookie and it said you should not eat fish. I mean, that would be terrible.
I would say burn up the food and then pee on the fire after that to mark your territory, and then you'll be good.
Okay, that's fair. I would just say, just to clarify, I was not the only person that had that reaction to food that night, and so lots of food got burned up in the fire, but it got mixed in with the ashes, and we had a thorough fire. Is that fair to say?
Did you pee on the fire?
I don't know that happened.
That's your
mistake.
You
were on that trip. Sorry, buddy.
No, I would have peed.
Okay.
I would have peed.
All right. Well, speaking of peeing on the fire and those types of decisions, I got a category here. Worst backpacking companion of all time, and we don't need to name names here, but what does it mean to you, Derek, to have a bad backpacking companion?
What does it mean to me?
It
means that it's gonna be a rough trip, obviously.
But what does that look like?
I think it's one thing that makes it rough is like it's when the conversation's dry, when there's nothing, like this person does not want to engage.
You want to be entertained.
I need entertainment. Russell Crowe was right. So I think that having somebody you can chat with or just that doesn't take themselves too seriously, that, you can joke around, play a game, they're just flexible. I think that's huge. And it's ideal to have, like, to me at least, like 3 or 4 people minimum. Okay.
But all right. So you don't have anybody in particular you're thinking of. You're just kind of going more general.
Well, obviously you're annoying, but I put up with you. okay. But other than
God, what's it like to go backpacking with both of you?
Draining. Oh my God. Draining.
Oh. Draining for others?
Draining for others. Yeah. No. I think it's fun. I mean, we have people that want to go with us, but I think that hopefully we're entertaining. I think we're pretty good with the flow. I think we're both very good at, like, when things just go wrong that we kind of enjoy that. We kind of enjoy the challenge of like figuring out what to do. So
depends
on yeah. how much food Carl's eaten. That's true.
Right.
And if his shoulders are bothering him. So I think that just mainly the company, I think, has to be positive and flexible. Okay. Otherwise, it's just bleh.
I'm just picturing you both standing around the campfire peeing on your food after you've thrown it in the campfire.
What happened? So,
not on the campfire.
The fresh food. The fresh food.
That's the scene. That's the takeaway from this episode. That's good. That's what we're after.
I feel like I can get past this. I'm a good sleeper, so I feel like I can get past the snoring.
Well, no, it's not always the snore, although the snore does make things a little bit, you know, aggravating, I guess, when, you know, you're trying to get some rest, you're trying to, and it's not the snore, it's the early to bed snore, you know, where you're still kind of
like the immediate snore,
you're still kind of up and maybe you kind of like took an extra 30 minutes around the campfire or, you know, whatever that point is. But the person that you're hiking with goes to bed like at 8 o'clock, and at 8:01 they're in full snore mode.
Oh, that's
and so
rough.
You hear them before you even get into your sleeping bag, right?
Right.
And you're like, oh god, this is gonna be like. But I think more than that, I think when you go with a group of people that, like you're right, they don't have any kind of sense of humor. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're so nervous, or they're like, what's that noise? What's that?
I've had that.
I don't know. I don't know what. And, you know, like, did you hear that sound? There's
skittish.
An animal
they're
there.
Very skittish. Yeah, and if they're not, and the trail has this way of bringing out the vulnerable sides of people, or it usually does. And so I think when you are with people that just are like closed up, they don't want to talk about things, it can be. It just makes the trip a lot longer. So that's good. I like.
So there was one. We actually did an episode a while back on like backpacking inventions. And I think we called it like backpacking.
Things
that should happen, or like if we could invent something, this is what we'd invent. And we thought it'd be cool to come up with some sort of like a phone app that basically answers that question, what's that noise? And then you kind of like hold it up and you're like, oh, that's just a little squirrel running around, or that's a bear chomping on your food, or whatever it is. You know? So it hasn't happened yet, but you know what? If anyone Shocking. Wants to take that idea, then you have full license to do so. Free.
Free.
Free of charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Could you make things up? Like, it's a voice app where it actually talks to you like Siri, where you can say, Siri, what's that noise?
And then
it
would. Yeah.
See, now you're making it better than we had.
She'll be like, it's a deer gnawing on the salt up your backpack. You know, stuff like that.
No, I would love to do the recordings for the app. I would love to give the answer. So, oh, yeah. Siri, what's that noise?
Okay.
And your answer would be like, run, yeah. my friend.
Yeah. Run. Flee. Yeah. Flee.
Or calm down the other way. Like, calm down. It's just the leaves rustling.
It's just a black bear, not a grizzly.
No. Or it's like, you've lived a good life. And then that's the end. That's it. You
know? Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Sounds like you might be the person to make this happen.
We just lost millions of dollars.
Right. Sort
of,
yeah. Right. Go for it.
Okay.
All right.
So, I got a question.
Let's do one more category.
Okay, one more category. Okay, Carl, here's a question. What's the worst piece of gear you've ever used or had on the trail?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about gear that we love and gear that we think should not exist on our show. And this is tough because it's probably between two. It's probably more I again. I'm not a big fan of the Buff or the Aqua Clip.
That's two, but okay.
Yeah, so I gotta choose between these two. I guess I gotta go with the Aqua Clip. That's
okay.
Scott, are you familiar with the Aqua Clip?
Yeah.
Do you use one?
No.
Okay, so I'm not gonna offend you. I'll probably offend somebody out there.
I mean, you did use it wrong the first time you used it, though, right?
Yeah, it didn't come with directions, but yeah. So it just clips onto the water bottle, and then you clip it onto, you know, your shoulder strap, so you have easier access. So the idea behind it is actually really good, but the way that it plays out is it just is a really clunky thing that's kind of dangling on your shoulder strap. And so I bent down to examine a Sasquatch carcass that we came across on one trip. And as I bent down, the water bottle popped off of the shoulder strap into the carcass, rendering it like not usable for the rest of the trip.
Alleged Sasquatch carcass. Alleged.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
Yeah. And so I'm going to go with, yeah, a piece of gear that's meant to kind of make things more efficient, but actually ended up making things worse. That's my answer.
That's very thorough.
Thank you.
Aqua Clip. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Scott, what you got?
Interesting.
Oh, man. I think the gear that I hate failing the most is probably a clip on a backpack. So you guys remember Go Light?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They make some good really bad stuff at the same time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Go Light went out of business. He reinvented the same brand or the same gear with MyTrail. Man, oh man. I used his backpack, because I had a Go Light for years. It was a great winter pack, by the way, way ahead of its time in the lightweight backpacking stuff. But when I went back to my trail, I mean, I couldn't do 2 or 3 miles with that chest strap just breaking.
Oh, he just broke. Like just snapped. Broke. Okay.
It kept on coming undone over and over and
that
over.
That would be annoying.
Over again. And when I think of the worst gear or just gear that I just want, by the time I was done with that trail, I think I was doing, I don't know, like about 12 miles. We ended up at the at some kind of hostel or something over there. I threw the backpack away.
Oh.
And it wasn't breaking. It was just coming unbuckled.
Huh. Gotcha. That's interesting.
It's like a manufacturing issue, I feel like.
Yeah. I bought a Go Light hydration pack years and years ago. And the way that the tube came out of the pack was at such a weird angle that it kinked the hose. And so you couldn't actually drink the water out of the pack. Mm. And then, I bought it based on a recommendation from Backpacker Magazine, who said, this is a good water pack. And then I realized that a lot of those recommendations were simply just advertisements. And so I kind of learned my lesson, I think, from that. And now I just don't trust that magazine anymore.
Do you use that backpack still?
I think I bought it at REI, and so I returned it, and I returned it with a disgusted look on my face.
As you should.
Take this back and don't sell it to anybody else.
How dare you?
How dare you? Yeah. That's right. Derek, do you have one?
I got one. It's an easy one. It's the Camelback water bladder. I mean,
you're not strong enough to open it, is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, I put it in my backpack. It seemed sealed. It seemed fine. I would hang it upside down. I squeezed it. Everything looked great. Throw it in the backpack, walk about 2 miles, everything in the pack was wet.
Right. So you're not strong enough to close it.
You know, strength is irrelevant. I think that it should easily close for an old lady, and clearly I have either that strength or similar. So, no, it was just
making
like...
Making fun of old lady's strength? Wow.
I'm comparing them to... You could have listened better. Okay. So, I think that that happened on... I gave it another chance, which was foolish. I did it on 2 trips, and I was like... The same thing happened on both trips. Made everything difficult. Everything is wet. Water was hard to now have and drink because of this stinking bladder. So I hate it. I just hate it.
Was that the big screw? So it was had the big mouth to it, and you had to kind of you had to be a NASA scientist to screw the lid back it through.
I know. Yeah.
Those did leak a lot.
It was terrible.
100%.
So never again.
And the amount of plastic they use on those caps there, plus just the bladder itself, they actually weigh, they're almost like Nalgene bottle weight on that.
6 ounces of plastic for one cap, yeah.
Right. So
I had a backpack that was a bunch of us had gone backpacking. The big lesson is never put water in your platy. This is when I was using a platy, and throw it in the car first.
Right.
And so my pack was on the bottom, and we're getting ready to go, and we're hiking, and these two girls are behind me, and I could feel I could feel liquid dropping on my calf.
That's not what you want.
And the first thing I thought was well, here I go, I've reached that age now where I can no longer, my bladder is just, it's just going. And without even turning around, I asked one of the girls, hey, I can feel liquid on my leg. What's dripping? And she was like, it looks like your water platy. I'm like, oh, thank God. It was the old platypus that actually, I'd filled it up too much, and the seam actually, it split the seam.
And really?
That was the only time. But if you put that much weight, your platy's full, and it's a it's just physics. Something.
It's just annoying because it's like such an important piece of equipment.
Well, yeah, because wreck other stuff, right?
So yeah.
I had one with a platypus, and then I haven't used it since. As a result, I think I left it in the car or something. in Colorado, and so the water froze up, but it froze up in such a weird way that it made the ice, I guess, relatively sharp, and so just moving it around punctured the platypus, the ice inside. So I just thought, that's not what you want either. So anyway, no. So I've gone with a different brand, but that's kind of part of my quest is to find the best water reservoir option out there that's lightweight, that doesn't have a leaky bite valve, that works.
The search continues.
It does. Yeah. It does. So I think there's some takeaways, though, from this episode. We learned some food not to buy. We learned some trails to avoid. We learned some gear to avoid. And we learned the types of people that Derek wants to uninvite on a backpacking trip. So,
yeah, right.
And I think I've learned to definitely bring my camera when I go backpacking with you guys for the whole campfire.
Oh, yeah, no idea. Carl finds so many fake things on the trail that he thinks are real. It's like, you know, just Sasquatch carcasses.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Our group and our trips are typically disasters waiting to happen. So that's probably a fair assessment, is bring a camera so you can capture that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, this has been awesome, man. We just appreciate you joining our show and all the stories you have and the tips and wisdom and sense of humor, man. So really appreciate
it. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
The dual show.
Well, I appreciate you guys, you know, reaching out again. I love your show. Keep up the good work. You know, the cool thing about, you know, backpacking with friends and, you know, people that you meet along the trail is that, you know, the funny stories always end up later when you can kind of, you know, sit back and think about it. But the more important thing is that you're going out there. I mean, nothing's ever going to go right, you know. I mean, and when it does go right for me, when everything's perfect, quite frankly, I get a little disappointed because like, oh my God, that was so beautiful. And, you know, like wild horses came up to me and I rode one and it was like, I walked in, rode off in the sunset. And I mean, like, but there's really horses. No... I mean, yeah, that's great. And that's what everybody wants when they go out there. But the truth of the matter is, it's much better when, you know, a wild horses, you know, come stampede through your campsite, or, you know, like you didn't see that coming or whatever that is. That's where I think backpacking and going out in nature and kind of like, you know, telling Mother Nature, like, bring it on, man. Bring it on.
All right, so thank you again to Scott from Trusted Trail. We really appreciate it. We did a dual episode, so he's actually releasing, you know, that portion of the show on his podcast, and we are obviously releasing it here because that's how you're listening to it. So
yeah.
So thanks again to Scott, and we hope to connect with him again for sure. That was
wonderful.
He's always a lot of fun to have.
Yeah,
we got trivia coming up. The worst trivia
right after this.
All right, so here we go, Derek.
Okay.
Worst trivia, so bad things, worst things, I don't know.
Okay.
All the above.
Yeah.
All right, number one, rank the following companions from bad to worse. All right, these are companions that have been, we've experienced before and probably continue to experience.
Okay.
So we got the flake, somebody who flakes on you kind of days before the trip. You know, you're planning on them coming, you account for them, accommodate this and that, and then they're just like, yeah, I just can't make it for whatever reason. Somebody who gets car sick and then asks to go home a couple hours into the drive. They just can't handle it.
Okay.
Somebody who needs significant help carrying their own gear on the trail for whatever reason.
Significant. What do you mean by significant?
Meaning just like, you know, you're taking their personal things off of them and putting them into your own pack. Mm. Not group gear, like their personal items, whether it's clothing, whether it's underwear, whether it's toilet paper.
Okay. And this is ranking according to your rules or your experiences or mine? Because I feel like there's no wrong answer.
100% subjective, but there is a right answer.
And here we go. Okay, I think the least impactful to me it's like somebody getting car sick and asking to go home a couple hours into the drive. I know that's annoying, but I feel like I'd rather, and you're going to lose time on your trip, which is really annoying for sure, but I think I'd rather have that happen than get there and have them get on the trail and then tell me that. Mm-hmm. Because we had that experience happen, although I guess it would be their responsibility to leave at that point and you don't have to drive them back.
But I feel like that would still be.
Wait, if there's one vehicle, and let's say you're 2 hours into the drive, and they say,
"Oh, one vehicle."
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. They get car sick. So yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have clarified.
Okay, that. I might bump that to number two then.
Okay.
I'm gonna say that's number two.
Yeah, that's happened to me before because we've actually been in the. Yeah, we've been in a situation where we had to return back, and then that decision caused others to bail on the trip as right. well.
Yeah.
Like just on the driving portion.
Like a domino effect.
It was. Yeah. So you put that number two. What's your first?
I think my least is probably the person who needs, well, I guess it sounds weird to say this. So I was actually going to put this third, but now that I think about it, I guess the person who flakes on you a few days before the trip.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted to put this as the worst because it's like, it's not fun to go with people who do this because right. you get all excited and all that. But I've been guilty of having to do this, but it is annoying, but at least it's like you're not on the trail. You're not in the car.
Right.
I mean, there is, I guess, some saving grace there.
Okay.
And then probably the worst or the toughest would be somebody who needs you to carry significant stuff. Yeah. I think that, now don't get me wrong, I've had to have some of my stuff being carried like on my death march and all that, but I think when you're getting to the point where you can't carry your own personal items, you're significantly impacting everybody else in the group, especially, you know, if it's later in the trip or whatever, but everybody's tired and sore probably in their own right. But right. I think that's a lack of, the responsibility kind of falls on everybody a little, like the trip planner a little bit, because like, should you have gone over the gear list or checked their gear? Is this a person right. you need to do that? Or
are they fit enough to go?
Are they fit enough to go, right? right. And then on their end, like, you know, did they know how much their pack weighed when they put this thing on? You know, right. what do they bring?
Well, they do when they're on our trips because we
they
weigh
do
them.
On our trip. Yeah. Darn yeah. right. Bring that scale for sure. Yeah. So that's how I rank them. I'm sure that's 100% correct.
Okay. I usually carry other people's stuff. I'd say like 2 to 3 trips per year, I end up with other people's stuff in my pack. Or somebody puts a rock in my pack. One of the two.
But
things.
You said significant.
Yeah, significant yeah. help. Yeah, this scenario here is not every year. This has happened multiple times for sure.
Yeah.
And so the last time I can think of where it was significant, that was when somebody had like a back injury who shouldn't have been on the trip in the first place.
Right.
So
right.
actually, that is how I would have ranked them.
Oh.
Because I would huh. rather return somebody home than carry their stuff on the trail, and I'd rather waste whatever that is, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'd rather have somebody, you know, flake on me a couple days before the trip. And if it's for a legit reason, like,
yeah.
totally understandable. But if this is somebody where this is kind of a theme here, then they just don't get invited again. So,
yeah.
But I would like to award you not only with the correct wow. answer, but also with the longest answer on a trivia question
second,
of all time.
Second longest. Okay. All right. Okay. Number two.
Number two. What is the worst injury to have on the trail? Worst injury. A, back. B, knee, C, head, or D, shoulder.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The worst injury to have on the trail.
This is not ranking them. This is just what's the worst.
Well, I mean, if you had a head injury, you shouldn't even be on the trail, right? So.
Well, it happens on the trail. I'm saying these.
Oh, it happens on the trail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yours is shoulder, obviously.
Softball right there.
I would see. I'm going to say the knee, actually. I'm going to say the knee.
Okay.
Because I feel like every step you take, is going to be just complete agony
okay.
on your knee. And
right.
I've had that happen, not the knee, but I think I had a tendon or a ligament or something was sore, and every step was just excruciating. So
okay, what if I use the word significant? So all of these are significant. Significant back injury, significant knee injury.
Well, significant, then I'm going to go back.
Back, okay. All right.
But, you know, if you're just talking injury, then I'm going to say knee.
Okay. Head injury is the worst to have. If you have a significant head injury, you're at risk for mental incapacitation or something.
This is why I said head initially. You shouldn't even be on the trail.
Well, that's why I said it happened on the trail. So maybe, like, I don't know, you get blunt force trauma from, say, like a boulder got dislodged.
A boulder got dislodged. If a you're not going to be alive. If a
depends
boulder.
On, I don't want to get too graphic here, but it depends on how.
It's too late.
The story goes down. The back, I definitely think, is one of the top two. I actually had the knee as the third, so either way, you're wrong. So
back, okay, perfect.
So two is C head. Three.
I already look at that. I give you this. I say C head, and then it's like.
You did not.
This happens on the drill.
I added the word significant to clarify, and you still were unable to get it.
These are the worst questions I've ever. Okay.
You said it every single time.
Continue.
Number three. All right, so now I'm going to make myself vulnerable here. What am I the worst at?
Ooh.
Okay. So just details in general, it could be trip details, could be just life details, whatever. B, trail games. So you could say, you know, the bocce ball, the card games, whatever. C, filtering water. Pretty straightforward there. Or D, accommodating for everyone's needs on and off the trail as it relates to a backpacking trip. What am I the worst at?
Oh, this is like such a okay. I want to say accommodating, but I feel like you try so hard to accommodate everyone's needs.
Does trying really matter? Does trying matter
on and off the trail? I mean, off the trail, are you accommodating everybody's needs?
Ooh. Yeah. I tried to get people to get their flights on time.
You did,
and I fail at that.
I don't know if you're the worst at that, though. Okay. I feel like that's the answer, but I disagree. I don't know if you're the worst at that. Okay. I think all you can do is try, and at some point, it's our responsibility. So, right. Trail games, you're like adequate. Filtering water, you are a superstar because nobody wants to do it for you. Details, you're good with the details. You give us everybody the details. So I'm gonna have to go back to D.
Okay,
I have to go back to D.
I'll take it. I would personally say details. Like, details are a struggle for me. I try to be good at them, but there's always little things that I miss here and there. Or yeah, just even like we talked about with the, you know, the gear list is, that's the reason why we have a gear list, is so that everybody can make sure everybody brings stuff, but still we have people that don't bring things and then need to borrow or need to be helped, right? Not like on accident. There's times when there's, you know, where you saw the gear list you intended to, but there's like people that are intentionally not bringing things. They are choosing not to bring things because they think they don't need them, and then they need them.
But your detail, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you can't do everything for everybody all the time. They have to have some responsibility. But what's unfortunate is it then, like, impacts the trip.
And so we've come to the conclusion that a lot of that is just simply don't have that responsibility. That's where the accommodating comes into play, right?
Right.
So, right. Yeah. Anyway, all right. I'm going to pass you on that.
Barely passing.
By the skin of your teeth but success nonetheless.
Whew.
Okay. And that, my friend, that's all I got.
That'll do it. We will see you guys next time. Remember, guys, trust the trail. Not the copy machines. This is Derek. We'll see you on the flip side. I want to fly. Around the world. We were talking about wild horses, and Carl, you know, there was a time where he tried to ride it. He tried to, like, we were out on the trail, and he ran up to this horse and, like, jumped on this thing bareback. And, but, you know, the horse actually turned around and was like, hey, you know, you're making my shoulders really sore. Can you get off? And P.S., I have more hair than you.